We are now joined by Representative Christy Purcell of District 58A for our weekly conversation. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How are you?
I'm okay. Good morning, Rich and Ryan.
Good morning.
Happy to be here.
How's the week been? You know what? Before we get into that, I want to read you something.
Read me something.
Okay, I was just talking with Wendy about this. We did a survey of KYMN listeners, not at all scientific, because that would have actually taken real work.
A scientist.
Right. but we were hoping for about 40 responses. We got 140 responses.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things people were asked was, what weekly and or monthly programs do you enjoy? And one person came back, well, a few people came back and said they like the weekly list, but this was the comment we got on it. I listen to the weekly list. I'm a music head who always learns from Rich and Danny's deep knowledge. And it's especially great when women take over the show for a new and different perspective. So, congratulations! Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but Christy is one of the alternative hosts of the weekly list.
I'm a hopeful takeover host. When I'm in session, it's so hard
it's so
to have time to do that. So I'm just like wistfully thinking about when Laura and I push you and Danny out of the way. And
you two are on my short list of when Rich is on vacation, because I'm sure it'll happen this summer, and I need an alternative co-host for a few days, and I'm like, oh yeah, Christy and Laura are my like top two picks.
We'll definitely call Laura first. She's got the dibs, but I'm happy to be here back.
You are a podcaster these days. How's the podcast going?
Good. So we typically record on Tuesday evenings, and then the episodes drop Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. We used to do a faster turnaround, but that was just too difficult because now I'm the producer editor.
Oh, okay.
So we this week had a conversation about national and state level politics. We try to pull it local, and then we ended with some good news.
Oh, good.
And we really, a lot of people ask us all the time. It sounds like the brush off when people say, like, what can I do? And we say, like, call or email your representative or your senator or your congressperson. And it sounds like we're giving them the brush.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely not true. So we go into a little bit more into, like, on the other side of that, what that's like for us when we get those communications.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
Yeah. That's you, right?
Yes, new libs on the block.
Got it.
New libs on the block.
I gotta
find a couple of curse words, but we're not on. Well, we're not syndicated on any radio stations.
We can
say a few swears.
We can maybe arrange something like that. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. So okay, how's the week been?
The week has been long. I forget how long 4 days can seem when it's just I think part of it is just like the switching so quickly. I forget what that's called. There's like a name for it, but I'll have a 15-minute meeting on, Alzheimer's organ donating.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, boom, I'll switch. And then the meeting is about buffers and ag policy. And then, boom, the next one is on... I think it's just so mentally exhausting that I sort of forget that.
Because it's not just the topic that's changing, but also your audience is changing, and you have to, I think maybe the term you're looking for is like kind of code switching, where you're like adjusting how you talk and you compose yourself, and you're just like in front of a new audience, so you're constantly like,
and
wait, who am I talking to now?
Yes, totally different acronyms, like in the health world versus in the agriculture world versus in education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like kind of a mental gymnastics that I can do, but boy, by the end of the day, I am.
Do you ever, like, just after, however many of these meetings, do you ever have to just take some time and sit down and, like, go through all of your notes and like, okay, it's like someone with a photographic memory who just will thumb through a book and then walk away and read it as they're walking away?
I don't have time.
But yeah, like, how do you download all the information you've been given in a meeting?
I don't feel like I do that very well. And it's honestly, like, it's not built into the job.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, I mean, I will sometimes try just to sort of give my brain, like, downtime. So when I walk between the Centennial Office building, where my cubicle mm-hmm. is now, to mm-hmm. the Capitol, I mean, it's been so nice out. So, yeah. like, getting to just walk outside for 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Or just, like, you know, chat with a colleague or a staff member on the way. I think it's not so much, like, the intentional kind of downloading, but just the, like, brain break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm big on naps, but since I don't have an office,
right.
I haven't figured out how to, like, power nap when yeah. I need to.
Yeah.
And then this week, because I'm an assistant floor leader for the DFL side, we did a training with the chief clerk's office on Wednesday night, mm-hmm. which was fascinating. I just learned so much more about, like, what they do behind the scenes, and how they just make everything seem so seamless, but all of the incredible work that goes on. But that was like a 3-hour meeting / training after, wow. after we finished work at 6:30. So, so, you know, Wednesday, especially, it was like, my brain hurts. And it was yeah. great to learn about, gosh, what are the things? Just like the procedures on the floor.
Yeah.
So how you make a point of parliamentary inquiry, how you make a point of personal privilege, like right. all of these things that I've seen happen, but I have not mm-hmm. done myself.
Because your days, too, they're not just your standard 8-hour workday. You're working far beyond that.
So, funny you should mention that. So, probably Monday will be our first night that perhaps we go till midnight, or maybe we have to waive the midnight rule because of this hateful anti-trans bill that is coming to the floor on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Some days start at 8 a.m. There was a mm-hmm. breakfast Thursday at 7:30 a.m. for South Central College. I didn't make it to because by that point in the week, I just need sleep.
Yeah.
but sometimes, you know, our days start early, and sometimes we have a midnight rule for when we have floor session.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on occasion, we have to waive that if we need to continue the discussion. But typically, hopefully, I'm done by midnight. Or, I mean, we haven't had late floor session yet. So, like last night, I got home in time to go to my kids' choir concert.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
That's good. Awesome.
So that good. Was, I mean, I was late, but I did make it.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah. That's what matters. You're there. And speaking of long days and all the things that are coming down the pipeline, what is happening at the Capitol this week with legislation and bills?
Yes. Yeah, so on Monday, as I've heard from MNN, is the an anti-trans girls in sports
okay.
bill that's coming to the floor. And that, you know, basically is a solution in search of a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's basically, as written, my understanding, this hasn't come through any of my committees, but I watched a committee or two that this has been through. Anyone at any time can question the quote-unquote biological femaleness of a girl in a sport.
Okay.
Literally from a ref to a fan to, you know, a parent from an opposing team.
To a fan?
Oh, yeah. It's literally anyone. And then the onus goes to the girl and her family to get either a genital exam, a DNA test, looking at
chromosomes
and checking, testosterone levels.
Mm.
So none of that is part of your typical physical for a kid to right. play in sports.
No.
I mean, and all along, it's fascinating to me that, like, no one is somehow worried about trans boys mm-hmm. in sports. There's just this sort of gender essentialism about, like, you know, boys being, like, bigger and stronger, and this being, like, unfair to girls in sports. I was like, wow, you did not care about girls in sports until you saw this as a potential wedge issue.
So is this legislation written just to address transgendered girls?
Yes.
It's not written with any with transgendered boys in mind at all.
It is to quote unquote protect girls in sports.
Okay.
We know the instances of what they're claiming, which is like, you know, biological girls like being hurt by these big strong boys in sports, like is almost non-existent, but
sure.
And it can't pass, you know, they don't have 68 votes, they have 67 Republicans, so if their caucus all stays together on this hateful bill, still can't pass.
Okay.
But they're taking this moment while they have a one seat plurality to show us their priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So again, yeah. like it doesn't reduce the price of eggs for a family. It doesn't
right.
Address skyrocketing healthcare costs.
Yeah.
It's instead othering Minnesotans who are just trying to literally just exist.
Yeah.
And taking away they're wanting to take away opportunities for trans girls specifically to have belonging and participate in sports. And right now, even with whatever executive orders that are coming down from the Trump White House, our laws still stand. And for 10 years, we've had trans kids playing on sports teams. And music groups and whatever else that align with their gender identity. And, you know, there's a couple extremists who I guess are mad about that. And so that's directing the whole agenda of the Republican Party in Minnesota.
Sure.
And then also this week in public safety, there was a bill to remove trans inmates from the Shakopee prison. So Shakopee is the only place where it's a women's prison.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally five inmates there who identify as trans. And the amount of time and attention and resources that has been put towards, making these people who are already marginalized, they're already homeless at a higher rate, they're already subject to, you know, sexual assault at a way higher rate, suicide, all of these things, for these five individuals, Republicans trotted in people who work there, who, you know, feel unsafe, and absolutely our Department of Corrections, we need to make sure everyone is safe, and that's the employees, and that's all the inmates,
mm-hmm.
including the trans inmates. So, again, it's sort of like a solution in search of a problem, and
yeah.
I think because you heard such hateful rhetoric coming from Trump in the presidential election, they're thinking that this is a winning strategy to divide us. And I just don't believe that.
Right.
And I think most people, they might think they don't know a trans person, or they might, they might not know that they know a trans person, or they actually don't. And it's just my friends who are trans are so much more generous about this issue than I am, which because I just get really upset. Which is by design. I mean, the whole thing is, you know, to troll the libs. But the trans people I know are much more generous. They're like, well, they just don't know us. And, you know, they just don't have an understanding.
Well, when you're used to people not understanding you, it's unfortunately, you just kind of adapt to it
I guess.
You get used to it.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
There's no good way to transition out of this. So I'm just going to make an abrupt
yes,
turn.
Yes, great. Please do.
So what are some bills that maybe you're seeing coming down the pipeline that could be favorable or helpful to folks?
Yes. So we are seeing bills being brought up like in the Health Committee this week and the Environment Committee that are bipartisan. So we heard a bill in Environment yesterday on foraging.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the proposal is to have a foraging task force for the DNR because more and more people are getting into foraging. And while I was listening to the testimony, I started to just list the things that I have or do forage for. And there's like 10 things. A lot of it I don't do on state land. Like, you know, I can just walk around town and I know where some of the berry bushes are and things right. like that during certain times of the year. Benefits of being trained as a naturalist. But what we're seeing is some over-harvesting, especially in state parks. And because state parks are like the most easily accessible, looking at limits. Because some people are coming in, you know, grabbing a few fiddleheads, snacking along the way. Mm-hmm. And other people are coming in and trying to then like turn around and sell the morels.
Oh.
So there's a definitely an over-harvesting problem or concern. And we think this will probably just get more difficult to control as more people learn about foraging and prices go up. And, you know, we want people to get outside. We want people to have that connection with nature and their food.
Absolutely.
But in a balanced way. So
it's no different than fishing. You know, I mean, exactly. that's been hunting, in place for forever.
But you those know. You have a license for. Yeah.
You do, and that's true. You know, and I mean, hopefully we're going to get to that point, but who knows?
Yes.
But I mean, it is good just to be mindful of sharing these resources and enjoying them without overdoing it.
Yes. And then we heard bills like on EMS, you know, especially in rural places and those, you know, number of ambulance runs and how to support that service going forward for the whole state of Minnesota. And those mm-hmm. are bipartisan in the health committee. So we are in some spaces getting to more bipartisan bills that will be part of the budget, but we're still seeing some of these messaging bills that are extreme and hateful and are going to go nowhere. The governor wouldn't sign a, you know, hateful anti-trans bill. The Senate isn't going to sign, you know, isn't going to pass that with a one vote Democratic majority. And even in the House, they don't have the votes to pass it. They don't have 68 votes. So we did pass last night. There were three bills on the floor. We did pass two of the Republican bills. So we're, you know, starting to get work done. They're starting to bring bills that helps us get to our end goal of a budget before the end of session.
Yeah.
And then just the other thing I wanted to mention as our time is running low, just all of the great visitors and meetings I had up. One of my favorite days on the Hill is the FFA day. And Northfield, we're in our second year of having an FFA chapter after 30 years without. So TJ Austin brought the kids up and Northfield, as ever, showed up, showed out, all the blue jackets from Northfield. It was really great. We don't have a great meeting space, so it was a little bit like we had to sort of shout in like the cafeteria, like these spread out on a couple different tables. But it was really wonderful to see those students. A school board member, Corey Butler, was up there not in his capacity as a school board member, but in his capacity at his
advocating
day job.
For accountants.
Yes. Because they have a bill to change some of the state regulations there. So he was up there talking to a colleague and I was like, hello. Hi. Let's see who else. Met with Laura Baker Services, met with the new owners of Three Links, met with some folks about a bill I'm taking for Billy blankets that families can take home with them if your newborn is jaundiced instead of having to come in, which is especially important if you live far away, like in rural places from a hospital. Gosh, what else? I mean, literally, I'm just only on Wednesday. I'm scrolling through this. So yes, a lot of good folks who came up or that I met with remotely, and I have some in-person meetings today with the newish director of the Northfield Arts Guild. Last week, Michael. I think I talked about the Area Learning Center students who came up, and then I went to visit them at their school. I went to the Northfield Union of Youth last week. Nice. So, yeah, so that's always my favorite part when I see people from my real life and see people from from my district up there instead of it being so separate of like, here's my St. Paul life and here's my home.
It's nice when the two get to collide.
It's so nice. It's so nice. And
that's
like,
awesome.
Oh, also it was county day. So lots of like county commissioners were there. So I didn't have a meeting with any of my three counties. I guess someone said, oh yeah, Rice County's up here. But I got to see a county commissioner from Goodhue, who I don't represent, but from my watershed days, he was on the board of Cannon River Watershed Partnership. So I got to see Commissioner Anderson from Goodhue. So
the county I grew up in.
Oh, so. Yes. And then a couple of former legislators who are now county commissioners, too. So that's
very
fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So glad to be in district today on Friday.
Yeah. Is that always or typically your in district day?
Yep.
Yeah.
Except for at the end of session when like we might just spend every day on the floor.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm glad to hear that despite some of the things that are not so great, sounds like there are some good things happening and some progress is being made.
Always.
So good.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. And I'm hoping I've requested a hearing or two for some of my bills. So hopefully I'll get to present some bills. We'll see if it takes a Democrat holding the gavel to do that. But I have some bipartisan bills that I've requested the Republican chairs to hear, like on right to repair. Very bipartisan in both chambers. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be hearing more about that next week.
Yeah, well, I don't know about next week. But
or maybe in the near future. How about that?
There you go. Let's hope. Let's
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Representative Christopher, so we always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank